Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the Voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for the Technology Report and This is America, coming up after As It Is.
Hello, and welcome to As It Is from VOA Learning English. I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. Today on the program, we will hear music from one of the oldest neighborhoods in New Orleans, Louisiana.
They'll be playing in the parks. They'll be playing at the Backstreet Culture Museum, at San Augusta Church. And also catch them in Congo Square playing New Orleans music.
Music from a place with a style all its own. Today on As It Is. Many people are still talking about the fourth and final season of the HBO television program Tremé. The show was set in a neighborhood unlike any other. Tremé is one of the oldest parts of New Orleans, and a place with a style of music all its own. New Orleans is the birthplace of jazz, and within the city, many will tell you that jazz began in Tremé, in a place called Congo Square. For almost 300 years, African Americans have been coming to Congo Square to play music and dance. And for over a century, the music they play and dance to has been the music of brass bands. Benny Jones Sr. is the leader of the Tremé Brass Band.
They'll be playing in the parks. They'll be playing at the Backstreet Culture Museum, at San Augusta Church, and also catch them in Congo Square playing New Orleans music.
New Orleans is a city not just of jazz, but of parades. Everything from Mardi Gras parades to funeral parades. And when jazz musicians march in the street, it is called second line music. Benny Jones says the name second line comes from the music's beginnings in the military.
The band I play right behind the soldiers, that's where the brass band got the name. Second line, they were playing marching music. So when they got to the streets, they changed the beat of the music. We put the New Orleans beat in it, putting the street beat on the bass drum, and which a snare drum would tie into it, and that's how it come to be a second line brass band.
Much of the marching that second-line brass bands do is to burial grounds.
You can always, at any given time, you may see a band leaving the funeral parlor or church doing a New Orleans traditional jazz funeral. If you're playing for an older person, you're looking for a straight-out traditional jazz funeral. A Closer Walk With Thee, In the Sweet By and By, Precious Lord, that is funeral music. And when you're playing for younger people, well, today they'll ask for the up-tempo music, so they'll hire a young band, and they do a real up-tempo music for the funeral.
Shake something, fellas, take some, come on. Shake some, take some, shake all some, right. Fellas, take some, ladies, shake some, come on. Take some, shake some, take all some, right. Ladies, shake something, fellas, take some, come on. Shake some, take some, shake all some, right. Fellas, take something, ladies, shake some, come on. Take some, shake some, take some.
Where the fellas that like to put in work? Where the ladies that like to twerk? Where the fellas that put in work? Where the ladies that like to twerk? Where the fellas that like to put in work? Where the ladies that like to twerk?
In 2005, Hurricane Katrina destroyed much of New Orleans. The Treme neighborhood was especially hard hit. Benny Jones and most of his band moved to the western United States after the storm. Today, however, Treme is recovering, and Mr. Jones sees plenty to suggest that the area's traditions will carry on.
I play in the Young Men's Olympic Parade. I'm the lead off band. They like traditional music. Right behind me, they have another traditional band. In the back, they have another a modern music. Got a young band. They play the up-tempo music, they, you know, like the reboot music. So everybody playing a variety of music on the parade.
Today, the music continues to change. Young people respect the brass band tradition while adding modern sounds like reggae and hip-hop. It is a kind of music that keeps marching on. And that's our program for today. It was based on a story by reporter Richard Paul. Next Monday on As It Is, we will have another report about American music. We will tell about the growing popularity of mariachi music, especially in the states along the border with Mexico. And we will tell how some Americans used music to support and then oppose an amendment to the United States Constitution. We would like to know what you want to hear about on a future show. We read every message you send us. Write to us at VOA Learning English, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA, or send an email to learningenglish@voanews.com. You can also go to our website, learningenglish.voanews.com, and click Contact Us. While you are there, you can read, listen to, and download our programs. You can follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, iTunes, Twitter, and on our YouTube channel, all at VOA Learning English. I'm Christopher Cruz. Thanks for listening. Please join me next week at this same time for another report on American music, here on As It Is.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Technology Report. Regrettably for many of us, robotic houseworkers may still be a long way off. But robots that can replace humans in dangerous environments are closer to becoming a reality. Carnegie Mellon, in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, is one of the leading robotics engineering schools. Scientists there are designing highly developed robots to do uninteresting, dirty, and dangerous jobs. One such robot looks like a snake. The snake robot's 16 joints permit it to pass through narrow spaces like underground pipes in nuclear centers. The robot looks for leaks and other damage. Howie Chosett is a robotics professor at Carnegie Mellon. He is the leader of the snake robot design team. The professor says there are a lot of places humans cannot reach.
Being able to reach them will have an incredible impact on humanity, society. It's just a matter of characterizing, you know, where are these places you can't reach.
The 2011 disaster at the Fukushima nuclear power plant in Japan made clear the need for robots. Robots can work safely in high radiation areas. Another robot, Chimp, can easily move through any disaster area. Chimp's powerful hands can turn on and off controls and carry out other similar jobs. Anthony Stintz is the director of Carnegie Mellon's National Robotic Engineering Center.
My goal is to develop robots that could do work that is dull, dirty, and dangerous. And as far as posing a threat, I really don't think there's anything to worry about.
Another group at Carnegie Mellon University is developing a robot to replace humans in performing more ordinary jobs. The researchers hope the new robot design will be able to carry things down the halls of a hospital or office building. Researchers often make robots play games. These games are designed to teach robots complex tasks. A new process permits some robots to play soccer. The robots can predict the ball's behavior based on the basic laws of physics. Scientists hope that, someday, robots of equal intelligence will cooperate with each other to work in more serious situations. And that's the VOA Learning English Technology Report. For more technology stories, go to our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. Give us a like on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at VOA Learn English. I'm Jonathan Evans.
From VOA Learning English, welcome to This is America. I'm Steve Ember. Today, Barbara Klein and I take you on a ride through the colorful history of Route 66, a road that has been called the Main Street of America. come along with us.
If you ever plan to motor west, travel my way, take the highway, that's the best. Get your kicks on Route 66.
The idea for Route 66 started in Oklahoma. Citizens there wanted to link their state with states to the east and west. By the 1920s, federal officials wanted to connect state roads to provide a shorter, faster way across the country. So a plan was developed to connect existing state roads into one long national highway. United States Highway 66 was established on November 11, 1926. It was one of the first federal highways. It crossed eight states. It was 3,800 kilometers long. Route 66 became the most famous road in America. It passed through the center of many cities and towns. It crossed deserts, mountains, valleys, and rivers.
In the 1930s, people suffered through the Great Depression. In Oklahoma, many poor families lost their farms because of dust storms. So they traveled west to California on Route 66 in search of a better life. In 1939, John Steinbeck wrote about these families in The Grapes of Wrath.
In his book, Steinbeck wrote, 66, the long concrete path across the country, waving gently up and down on the map, over the red lands and the gray lands, twisting up into the mountains, crossing the divide and down into the bright and terrible desert, and across the desert to the mountains again, and into the rich California valleys. Steinbeck wrote, 66 is the path of a people in flight, refugees from dust and shrinking land. 66 is the mother road, the road of flight.
In 1946, the songwriter Bobby Troup and his wife drove across the country to Los Angeles. He wrote a song about traveling on Route 66. The song told people they could have fun. They could get their kicks on Route 66. In Los Angeles, Bobby Troup took the song to Nat King Cole, who recorded it with his trio. It became a huge hit.
If you ever plan to move west, travel my way, take the highway, that's the best. I get your kicks on Route 66. It winds from Chicago to L.A. More than 2,000 miles all the way. Get your kicks on Route 66.
In the 1950s, holiday travel brought more and more families out west to explore. Route 66 represented the spirit of movement and excitement.
Goodbye, Pittsburgh. Hello. Hello, world.
In the 1960s, Americans watched a popular television series called Route 66. It was the story of two young men, Buzz and Todd, driving across the country and coming into the lives of those they meet along the way.
That music.
Oh, yeah, I'll turn it off. But...
No, sugar. It's pretty. But I thought I was the only one hearing it. But if you hear it, too, that means I'll be around a while longer. I believe I'm going to faint. Don't be frightened, son. Don't be frightened. It's all right. The Lord's calling me home. It's as good a way to go as any. With music.
The show was filmed in cities and towns across America. Yet only a few shows were filmed on the real Route 66. That didn't seem to matter because the stories captured the spirit of adventure of travel on the highways of America. In real life, people were getting fewer and fewer kicks on Route 66. By 1962, parts of the road were closed because they were in poor condition. The federal government was building bigger highways on which cars and trucks could travel at higher speeds and where they didn't have to stop at traffic lights or slow down for small towns. People started driving on these new interstate highways instead of the old Route 66. Finally, in 1985, Route 66 was officially removed from the national highway system. People have formed groups to save parts of the old 66 and many of the interesting places to eat, stay, and see along the way.
Award-winning writer Michael Wallace is an expert on the historic highway. He is the author of Route 66, The Mother Road. Michael Wallace was born in St. Louis, Missouri, right off the highway. He has lived in 7 of the 8 states along its path. His website, michaelwallace.com, has information and stories about the history of the Mother Road.
Well, it goes through St. Louis, Joplin, Missouri, Oklahoma City looks ooh, so pretty, you see. Amarillo, a Gallup, New Mexico, Flagstaff, Arizona, don't...
Now it is our turn to take a trip on Route 66. We'll have to search for it at times because many parts of the road have new names or numbers. Some parts of the original route are included in other interstate highways. Our trip begins in the Midwest, in Chicago, Illinois. Almost 3 million people live there. Chicago is America's 3rd largest city. You can learn more about Chicago by listening to our This is America program about that city. You'll find it on our website. From Chicago, the road goes southwest through many small towns in Illinois. One of them is Springfield, the home of America's 16th president, Abraham Lincoln. Now we cross into Missouri. We drive through St. Louis, the city known as the Gateway to the West. More than 300,000 people live there. There are many natural wonders to see in Missouri. One of the most famous along Route 66 is Meramec Caverns in Stanton.
Inside the cave, visitors see beautifully colored stalagmites and stalactites. These are mineral formations. Stalagmites rise from the floor. Stalactites hang from the ceiling. Long ago, local Indian tribes used the Meramec Caverns for shelter. A French miner named Jacques Renault discovered saltpeter in the caverns in the 1700s. The material was used to produce gunpowder. Later, the outlaw Jesse James is said to have used the caverns as a hiding place.
From Missouri, our drive takes us for a very short time through the state of Kansas. Then we enter Oklahoma. Oklahoma may well be the heart and soul of Route 66. That is because there are more kilometers of the road in Oklahoma than in any other state. In Claremore, Oklahoma, a statue honors a famous American, Will Rogers. Will Rogers was born in Claremore. He became a popular actor, radio broadcaster, and newspaper writer in the 1920s and 30s. We pass through many historic towns in Oklahoma. In Oklahoma City, we can visit the National Cowboy Hall of Fame and Western Heritage Center. And in Clinton, we can stop at the Route 66 Museum. This official museum tells the complete history of the road and its importance to America.
Now we drive through the northern part of Texas. The area is called the Texas Panhandle. We stop near the city of Amarillo to look at some unusual art that celebrates Route 66. Welcome to Cadillac Ranch. A Cadillac is a large, costly automobile. Cadillac Ranch has 10 of them half buried in the ground. A wealthy farmer and art collector named Stanley Marsh created Cadillac Ranch to honor America's roads. Continuing west, we travel through the states of New Mexico and Arizona. We pass through some of the most beautiful country in the Southwest. Petrified Forest National Park is one of the natural wonders of Arizona. Trees that are millions of years old have turned to stone in unusual shapes. North of Route 66 is a desert known for its red and yellow sand and rocks. Its name is the Painted Desert.
Well, if you ever plan to motor west, take my way, that's the highway, that's the best. Get your kicks on Route 66.
We continue on our trip, driving on a winding road up and down the Black Mountains. We arrive at Oatman, Arizona. Long ago, Oatman was a rich gold mining town. Everyone left the town when the mining ended. Today, Oatman still looks like it did in the past. And now we enter California. We pass through the Mojave Desert, some mountains, and several interesting towns. The old highway gets lost among the modern road systems of Los Angeles. Finally, we arrive at the Pacific Ocean in the city of Santa Monica. There, our trip ends. We watch the tide come in and thank Route 66. For an interesting ride. Our program was written by Geraldine Watson and Shelley Gallist. With Barbara Klein, I'm Steve Ember, inviting you to join us next time for another This Is America from VOA Learning English. If you'd like to learn about other interesting places to visit in the United States, check the This Is America section on our VOA Learning English website.